MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Dr. Ross Compton. He's a senior director of global policy at the Energio Alliance. Ross, appreciate the time today. In recent notes you put out, you talk around South Africa risk losing a huge opportunity in terms of potentially, I mean, tens of billions every year, tens of thousands of potential jobs, because we're kind of not sort of doubling down on the energy opportunity that we have within the country.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for the introduction, Simon. Nice to be speaking with you today. As you referenced there, the report that we've released highlights the opportunity in South Africa as we see it for oil and gas development. There's been early stage exploration in South Africa for some years now. The specific opportunity we highlight is, you know, the potential contribution to gross domestic product, approximately 23 billion rand annually. That's just from operations within Block 11B, 12B, which is relatively far along in terms of exploration. So there's a good understanding of resource potential there. And then, of course, there's other potential areas within South Africa. A lot of interest in the Orange Basin, for example, because, of course, it is that geological continuity from across the border into Namibia, where there is a lot of exploration, a lot of exploration success, if you will. So we're really seeing the benefits begin to be reaped there. And it de-risks to a certain degree what the potential is within South Africa, within your own waters.
Yeah, actually, it's a great point, because, of course, you know, energy doesn't respect our borders. They respect your geography. Are there lessons we can learn? I mean, you mentioned Namibia. There's also Ghana. They seem to be a lot further down the road than we are. Are there lessons that we could take from some of our neighbours?
Yes, I think potentially. I mean, in all of those cases that you reference and that we've highlighted in the report, you know, they've created a certain amount of certainty for industry around things like permitting and authorization. Mm-hmm. And we note the support from Department of Mineral and Petroleum Resources in South Africa. And of course, there have been some forward steps taken in recent months and years. So the Upstream Petroleum Resources Development Act came into being this year. That's positive. That creates a certain amount of certainty. Again, there are regulations in draft form that have been consulted upon that will be gazetted at some point in the near future. All of those steps help to create certainty for investors. I think one of the issues within South Africa that we've seen has been some of the litigation, for example. That's been a particular challenge. Appeals processes that don't necessarily have fixed timelines and those sorts of things, and particularly those timelines, they add a great deal of uncertainty. So I think some attention to those would really be beneficial within South Africa.
And it is that certainty. I mean, these are, to your point, you know, even if, for example, appeals are done quickly, this is a lengthy process, and it takes significant investment, and those investors need that certainty. That is hugely important to really kickstart it.
It is, absolutely. You know, and of course, those mechanisms, those dispute mechanisms are critical. And it's important, of course, to have fairness and transparency around all of those. But it is really focusing on those timelines and making sure that those decisions are taken in a timely manner. I think it makes a big difference. And, you know, we know that Minister Manteshe was recently on an investment forum as part of the G20, talking again about, you know, the potential to streamline the legal system around these issues, the potential for a specialised tribunal. You know, those sorts of developments may be very beneficial indeed.
There's also environmental concerns around seismic surveys, exploration. Those, I imagine, something that also need to be addressed, and ideally in an open forum rather than through the courts.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's an important dialogue to have. You know, people have got concerns, whether that's about potential environmental impacts, whether that's potential impacts to economic activities such as fisheries and so on. And we recognise those. Mm. But we're very used to working within tight regulatory frameworks. Mitigation steps that are put in place using best available science. And we're used to operating under those conditions globally. And we don't see any long-term impacts from operations at all. So I think it's an education process. It's about communicating what the potential impacts are, how they're mitigated effectively. And of course, we've got a lot of learnings from global operations in that regard. And we've also got The regulatory processes in South Africa are also quite strong here. You know, you've got a reliable petroleum agency. You've got the Department for Fisheries, Forestry and Environment. Of course, they've got to strong processes in place for these things, and that's positive in terms of making sure that any potential impacts are minimised.
And that's a really great point you make. I mean, South Africa, you know, we always think we're different, we're unique, we're special, but actually there are global best practices out there that we can implement, and we've got a lot of the groundwork for that already in place.
You're absolutely right. You know, and we're very used to working with fisheries groups, for example, and South Africa, of course, isn't the only place to have economically important fisheries. You know, yeah. If you think about some of the mature areas where oil and gas development has been happening for many years, you know, the UK and Norway are very good examples, yeah. Where not only is there productive oil and gas sectors, but there's also very busy and important fisheries sectors. So they can coexist. You know, and there's a lot of research goes into ensuring that there are no impacts from these operations or minimal impacts, including things like avoiding spawning areas and those, yeah, sorts of things. So, you know, there's lots of ways of mitigating and collaborating with relevant sectors.
A last question. We started the interview talking around potential GDP. You said 23 billion a year, tens of thousands of jobs. There's also energy security, which is a huge deal for any economy, for any country. And this could take us a long way to that critical energy security.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Simon. And if you think about some of the challenges that South Africa has had in recent years, you know, the peak of load shedding in 2023, yeah, and it's great to see load shedding significantly diminished, but some of the fundamentals haven't necessarily gone away. You know, there's still high energy demand, growing energy demand even, because the population is growing, it's urbanizing and so on. So the need for electricity, of course, is paramount. And that is needed to be supplied in a variety of ways, I think. So it's important to have a diversified energy system. And oil and gas is an important part of that, particularly natural gas, I think, in supporting economic activities. In particular, the productive sectors rely on natural gas for some of those activities in particular. And, you know, it really is an important part of energy security, particularly with potential supply crunch. A lot of natural gas at the moment for South Africa comes from Mozambique, where, yeah, there are of course, diminishing supplies, and we expect those to be severely pinched by sort of 2028. So I think domestic production has a very important role to play here, and really echo the comments by your Minister for Electricity recently in the launch of the IRP. You know, it's all about using all of the tools in the toolbox to make sure that you can reliably improve that electricity availability factor, because, you know, having access to energy and electricity really does drive economic growth, and it's really key to make sure that you've got that that reliable supply.
Yeah, and South Africans are acutely aware of that after years of load shedding. We'll leave it at Ross Compton, Senior Director of Global Policy at the Energy Alliance. Appreciate the time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.